Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here we are. It's the 2 days before Valentine's Day, 2019.
You have a Valentine's?
I don't, not at the moment. I mean, I'll have some ideas.
Do you have to ask somebody? I mean, remember the old days in school, you had those little horrible, horrible candies. Remember those little chalky candy things that came in a cardboard box that you'd give out?
Yeah, the ones that are those things, they won't make them this year, and that's a big scandal.
Why won't they make them?
The Sweet Tarts, I think is the name of them.
But they were like X-Lax.
They were not, but they always had these cute little sayings on them.
Yeah.
And here's what I think this company, this is typical of these companies. Why doesn't somebody, maybe they do this, but if they do it, I sure have never heard of it. I mean, it's possible they do it and they never marketed it correctly. Have your own custom stuff put on there like M&M's does.
Well, we have a very special Valentine's Day idea coming up at the end of the show.
Oh, really?
Yeah, something very special, something a little bit bittersweet that may be enjoyed by some of our more twisted listeners.
Wow, what a teaser.
Let's talk about what we're going to say tonight, to talk about today and pontificate about. There's a deal to keep the government open. It looks like it has some legs. Earnings R word, earnings recession word is being muttered. We have a new Fed policy, I guess it looks like. Today was turnaround Tuesday. Markets moving higher again. We're going to announce a new close to the pin and the winner from last week's. And now on Spotify, guess who? DH Unplugged.
Yeah, DH Unplugged's on Spotify.
Yeah. I don't know what that exactly means, but I put it up there.
That means they're going to put a bunch of ads around our podcast and give us no money.
I did look at the terms of service and the required document that I had to sign in order to do this. And it said something about that I would make no money no matter what happens. Pretty much says that. You know, you have to agree to that whole thing. So I guess they could just take our... What a great business model. You take this is not new, but you take the work of other people, promote it, and make money on it, and don't pay the content providers, which is all about no agenda, which I get, right? But
it's
really. You don't take advertise for a variety of reasons.
Yeah, that's one of the main reasons, is because these guys, all these advertising operations, whatever. I mean, even Patreon apparently has announced that they really can't make money at the payout rate. And this is just a mess. The advertising doesn't work on the internet. That's the problem.
Well, it works for some companies who have a monopoly on them, like Facebook and obviously a few of the other guys out there. But
yeah, but that's very elaborate systems they've set up.
Yeah. So let's do a quick market update, and we'll get into some of the topics that are on the top of the list today. Investors are seemingly seeing not a glass half empty, not a glass half full, but I'm seeing as a full and overflowing with joy. So it's not half full here. It's fully full. Mm. We have a fully full glass. It appears that no matter what the news is now, it's
twice half full.
Yeah. It's three quarter plus a half. It's definitely an interesting environment when you see such misery, strife, and just people in desperate depression turn around in a matter of days and then decide, oh, I better get on this train again. It's human nature at its best.
What else are you going to do with your money?
That's a good point. What else are you going to do? Got to gamble it away. Earnings season is starting to wind down. What we see is no surprise that the usual number of companies, the same number of companies that often beat expectations in the 70% range or so, have, of course, beaten. But the big difference this quarter, as we talked about, is this whole idea that they beat, but on a very low bar. You know, this is like, wow, look at that guy jump. He made it over the 5-foot number. Yeah, but this guy could jump 7 feet. But he was the bar was reduced, and the earnings estimates were chopped significantly. But now all of a sudden everybody says, well, they're beating and maybe it's not so bad as it they thought it was. But the problem is, John, that you had like 20% earnings growth year over year last year through this time because primarily of the tax cuts. Now you're seeing maybe 2-4%. And the question is, going to be, is it going to even slow down even further? That's
well, I don't know what else they can do.
Well, it's going to be very hard comps, and you see a global backdrop that's slowing down and earnings everywhere else. And if you have the S&P 500 and you calculate that about 40% of their earnings and revenues come from overseas and there's a slowdown there, it seems to be pretty logical and obvious that there could be a slowdown here too, right?
At some point, there has to be.
Yep.
These things are interconnected, at least somewhat.
And one of the reasons is, I think, also that there's so much liquidity in the system and so much debt. You know, I think we just passed, what was it, $22 trillion of debt, the highest debt ever?
It's always the highest debt ever.
Yeah, it seemingly can't get
ever
paid
off. Until it's not anymore.
Yeah, when's the last time it was ever paid off? I mean, listen, if somebody has the money to put up the debt countdown clock in Manhattan, they didn't think it was going to be a short-term electrical device up there, right? It was long-term. I got to wonder if they have
enough digits. Yeah, it's costing them money.
They're going to have to start looking at some kind of an abbreviation for the digits as it gets too long.
I like it the way it is.
And last week, investors got spooked. We had a decent rally going on through January. February came around. Things were going well. And all of a sudden, Larry Kudlow, on Thursday, I think it was, comes on a Fox News interview and says that the U.S.-China talks are miles apart. Now, this is from a guy that is always taking the silver lining approach, always positive, always saying, you know, even when you're in the midst of a recession, no recession here. We're not seeing a recession. And he comes out with a comment, and markets were down like 2%. NASDAQ was down like 2%. And we made that all back this week already.
So, yeah, I noticed.
Yep. So I guess that everybody's thinking that the government shutdown isn't going to happen. And we're closer to some kind of a resolution with China. You know my bet here. My bet is we're going to have some kind of nonsense that China's buying our soybeans and they nodded their head about not stealing so much products and they'll put a few things down on paper and every side's going to claim victory. We really got over on those guys. And nothing's going to
Well, that's what they do. What's new?
Make a mess and clean it up and say that, look at all the good work that you did. Yeah. The other thing is, I was thinking about this whole idea of like with the current environment we're in, where populism has been on the rise, globalism has been gutted to a degree.
Well, knocked back.
Knocked back, yes. Protectionism is on the rise. And I was thinking about all these names that are entering the 2020 race. They seem to have a lot of similarities in terms of their what they're going for and what they're trying to rally the troops with. This whole back to the income inequality thing again, which I'm not saying it's wrong, but I'm saying it seemed to have died down for a while.
Yeah, the income inequality and global warming seems to be the big things putting their stake in the ground about.
Yeah, I don't understand. I mean, is it looking
How about jobs? How about ending poverty? When's the last time anyone ever said that?
Nope.
Let's end poverty. Let's stop the homeless problem.
You know, when you look at income inequality and wealth inequality, there's different levels of it. So someone who's making $100,000 a year compared to someone who's making $5 million a year, there's a big inequality there, right?
Yes.
Someone who's making $25,000 a year and someone who is living on the streets, there's a big income inequality there too, right?
Yeah.
But we're only attacking the wealthy, the ones that probably do a lot of work for charity, help out others, create jobs. We're only seemingly going after them for some reason with the wealth tax.
Easy. It's because it's easy.
It's a big target. Yeah.
And they don't do much to defend themselves. And half the time they're, you know, a lot of them are douchebags. It's great. So it's, you know, people like to pick on them. It's called gouge the rich.
Gouge the rich. I mean, that's what's going on. We're talking about a wealth tax that's going to raise, you know, billions and billions of dollars.
Not gonna do anything. They're never going to put a wealth tax through. If they put a wealth tax through the way I think they should, which would be a universal wealth tax and drop income tax, then it would work. But they won't do that because then at the end of the discussion, you have the most wealthy people, people like Buffett, who talk a big game about wanting to pay more taxes. But if they actually were put, it was put to them, and they have to pay more taxes, they do everything they can to shift things around so that won't happen.
Right. Use their wealth to avoid. They'll hire people, they'll figure it out, they'll offshore it, something.
In fact, even gouging the rich, I think, is a scam. I think it's just a way to shake your fist at these guys and make a big stink and then get people to vote Democrat. They never do anything. I mean, when's the last time there was a – I mean, they always talk about gouging the rich, but when are they ever gouged the rich?
The problem of all of this is – and the thing that really disturbs me is this class separation that seems to be going on. It seems to be growing.
Yeah, and Marxism.
And it's creating this real bitter – this bitter attitude of people against other people.
Yeah, that's what Marxism does.
Yeah, so that's what we have. Yeah. All right. Let's talk about markets for a second. I put a few charts up. This is a kind of a chartapalooza here going on. It's interesting because when we look at the NASDAQ, the Dow Jones, the S&P, that big ramp that we saw from down below, we're starting to see some points of resistance. For example, if you take a look at the S&P, which is not loading.
It's a dead link.
That was a good one too. All right. You look at the NASDAQ. It looks similar. Very similar. You see this inverted head and shoulders. By the way, DH Unplugged, episode number 443. This will be on the show notes and the links page. You'll be able to see these and they'll all show up. But this is a daily chart of the Invesco QQQ, the NASDAQ 100 ETF.
Yeah.
And you can see that 200-day moving average there. I don't pay a lot of attention to moving averages, except for that I know that they're important to others.
Yeah.
And you notice that back in December, we fell right off that. You know, we went right up to that 200-day and then fell down. In November, we went up to the 200-day, got a little bit above and fell down. So now we're again approaching this 200-day moving average.
Right, which is hovering around 171.
Yep, very close to where we closed today with the markets. I think it closed at 170.91. So we're about a buck away from that. So I think that it's interesting that we see this. The S&P is right on its number. And the Dow, though, you look at the next chart, the Dow actually surpassed and is above its 200-day moving average right now. And we're starting to see the 50-day moving average starting to turn up a little bit. But these are long-term averages. These are things that many institutions look at and they say, you know, this is where we're going to, because it's easy. They draw a line on a freaking chart.
Yeah. It's pretty much just kind of a little line. It's not like an up and down and up and down right. and crazy line. So it's just a line.
That's my line. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to sell if it gets to there. I'm going to buy if it comes down to that, you know. And this doesn't take a lot of work. It's technical analysis, like less than 101. It's basic. But this is what the institutions do.
Institutions, it's community college tech analysis.
So institutions will actually look at this and they'll say, well, you know, that's our line in the sand. If we're in an uptrend and it's getting up to that point in a bigger downtrend, you know what? We're going to sell at that point or not buy more at that point. If it breaks through consistently and it stays above it, well, then that turns into support instead of resistance.
Yeah, and then it has paid off in the December move.
Yeah. It doesn't – this is – the 200-day, when you get that far away, that bottom there, December 24th, that was really far. That was many stand deviations underneath the 200-day moving average. That's not a usual occurrence. That doesn't happen that often. There was a lot of signals there. I talked about it on the show. There was a lot of signals right around there that said that things are overdone tremendously. We're starting to see that things are getting a little bit overdone on the upside as well. I'm a little bit more cautious right now.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. As are a group of people who are surveyed by Bank of America. This group has a total of about $515 billion under management. And there's a lot of institutions involved here. And it seems that they're not so convinced that, you know, they're going to be getting involved in this whole rally. Global equity allocations in February fell to lowest since September of 2016. Even though we see a big up in the global index, the equity index of the world is up about 8% in 2019 so far. So there's a lack of sustainability and conviction, supposedly, in this whole rebound. And what's interesting is I put another chart that hopefully works here. Oh, let's see. Ah, that's good. That's a good one. This is the rotation into secular stagnation themes hardens, whatever the heck that means. But what this is saying is, when you look at the positioning versus historical levels on averages using what's called a Z-score, which was, let's just use it as an average long-term basis. Equities are about, it's not a big deal, but equities are about 1% less than the average right now, and cash is about 1.2% more than average right now. And I can tell you that one of the reasons is that cash is paying money. You can get 1.7 to 2% in cash. That's starting to look like an investment avenue.
Well, this is interesting to me because in one of those, you know, phony baloney links about, you know, where you have some expert who called the market, you know, back in the day. I forgot who this guy was. He's one of the guys that has newsletters and likes to get on CNBC. He says, now's the time to get out of cash.
Get out of cash.
Yeah, he made a big deal. I mean, it was one of those things. I'm not going to read it because, or I'm not going to listen to the lecture. I'm not going to do any of that because it's, you know, it's a time consumer. Mm-hmm. And they keep going on and on and
until
they never
you
get
succumb
to
the buying, to buy something from them.
Yeah, yeah.
Wear you down. So they're saying get out of cash, which is interesting. Yeah. I don't really hear that often. It's usually
time. I've never heard it before, especially recently.
Yeah, time to. Well, do you think it has to do with the concern about? I have no idea what that would be about. I mean, it could be
hyperinflation would be a good reason, but that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
I was just baffled by the whole thing. I thought I'd bring it up.
Probably going into Bitcoin.
Oh, yeah, that could be a.
Have you looked at Bitcoin lately? It's not going anywhere.
No, it looks like it's finally stabilizing.
Really interesting. It doesn't hardly moves anywhere between, we'll call it 3,300 to 3,500 ish. Just kind of moves around, kind of gets there. Interesting. Anyway, global allocations in February fell to lowest since September 2016. Okay, so take a look at that chart. I think it's pretty interesting.
But look at this chart. I want to ask a couple of questions about it.
Yeah, I'm here.
It says everyone's getting out of the pound and the dollar. They're getting out of the dollar.
They're going into the pound.
Not according to this thing that you get the secular stagnation theme.
Where's the pound?
It's down at the bottom, UK.
No, that's the UK equity market. GBP is the Great
Britain. Oh, okay. I see it. Okay, you're right. But the US dollar is going down.
Which is interesting because it's going up. I mean,
it's going way up.
I mean, I think that the US dollar is doomed.
This is a bull crap
chart.
Well,
that could be one of the issues. That guy that says get out of cash. I do believe that we are seeing a very significant problem with the underpinnings and fundamentals of the US debt structure and the economy. And we don't really see it that much here because we live here and all, but we got a lot of debt. Everything is built on a pile of debt. And you remember I said, one of the problems we had back in the day of 2007, 2008, is all this debt was concentrated with individuals. And when the individuals went bust, who bailed them out? The government. When the government now has all this debt that they have on their books, if things go wrong, who's going to bail them out? God.
The printing press.
Maybe. Just keep this thing going on forever? This big charade?
I think it's been going on already way too long. But the printing press would help also. Maybe it could go to hyperinflation that pays off everything, zero things out.
So it ruins everything
old,
else.
Old trick. Yeah, it ruins everything, but it pays everything off.
Right. It's like you want to redo a bathroom, but you take down the whole building. Right?
Yeah. Maybe you don't like the building. Nobody likes the debt.
Right. Yeah. Here's something interesting. I thought this was kind of cool. Social media network Reddit. Are you of the age that you read Reddit?
I have been given links to go to Reddit, but I find Reddit to be rather
annoying.
Well, besides the annoying, it is really filled with mostly people that need to find something else to do with their time.
Yeah, there's a lot of commenting and opinions on there, isn't there?
Yeah, and they're always, you know, who needs it? Opinions from people that really have no standing to have an opinion at all, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, everyone can have an opinion, but now when it's like encouraged to the extreme where it has the same weight as maybe somebody who knows more.
Yeah, the problem is that these opinions can be anything from, first of all, you don't know if they're true. Second of all, even if they are and they are vetted in terms of the user, then what? I mean, people that just want to hear themselves talk. And then there's those people that want to be controversial just to get conversations going so they can hear themselves type more.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not a Reddit guy. I know there's a Reddit forum for probably this show. I know there's one for sure for No Agenda. It just seems to be the same five guys with about 10 different names.
Harry 1, Harry 2, Harry 3.
Talking to themselves.
Well, Reddit now raised $300 million in its latest funding round led by Tencent.
Let's write down the names of these funders so we can say, let's put on the dumb money list.
So you got Sequoia, Fidelity, Tacit, and you're not going to believe this one, Snoop Dogg. That says a lot right there, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah, pretty much sums it up.
So it's now worth a whopping $3 billion. There goes another unicorn.
Somebody will buy them and then it'll go bust. I mean, it's just the same story over and over again. It's getting kind of tiresome.
Speaking of tiresome stories.
I do admire people that can put a scam together, not a scam, but an operation like that together and then dump it on some suckers sometime in the future and walk away with billions.
The problem is if you have enough money, you can buy all sorts of people to do what they do, comment, and then throw the, you know, this whole game of putting advertising on there because you have eyeballs. You hire a billion people from India and Asia to go on there and type all sorts of crap and look like they're active and all that. You pay nothing for that. You get advertisers to advertise. It looks like you have all this money flow coming in. And then, you know, you call your people from India and Asia, you call them developers, right? And they bring up your page hits and they have not only that, they have bots that are doing this as well. And then when you look at all of the numbers, oh, look how good, look at the growth of the page hits, you know, and you got the advertiser paying for that. And, you know, they have no way to, advertisers have no way to know if they're paying off except for the fact of links and get clicks and all that, but still.
But that can be faked.
Yep. It's a big scam, folks. Big scam. Twitter earnings.
Adam Curry's been saying this for over a decade.
Yeah, I agree with him. Twitter earnings came out. They had a better than expected 24% increase in the fourth quarter revenues, helped by growth in its video advertising business. Whatever. I don't know what that means, but okay. Again, I've never seen some of these. I hardly see an ad ever on Twitter. And I don't know what that's about. Maybe somehow I have a ad blocker that's built in or something. I don't know. Into my head because I don't see them. You know, I used to see a few here and there. I haven't seen
somebody told me that certain people never get to see ads.
Why?
Because they want to keep those people active on the platform. But if they see too many ads, they may bail out.
Okay. Well,
I don't know. I mean, you think it was something Joe Rogan probably should have asked Dorsey when he had him on the show.
Well, I'll take it as that I'm a very important contributor to Twitter. How's that?
Yeah, there you go.
Social media also posted a decline in monthly active users due in part to its campaign of deleting millions of abusive accounts. Duh. Overall revenue rose to $909 million in the quarter, beat Wall Street's average and estimate, and revenues rose. But the company says it expects operating expenses to rise about 20% year-on-year due to its efforts to improve its service above, and that was 20%, which was the expectation of only 12%. Stock went down, I don't know, 12% on the earnings. GM had earnings, and they actually were pretty good. GM had a profit. Last year, they were at a loss. The big profit winner and the reason for it was pickup trucks and crossovers in the U.S. market combined with cost cutting.
You know, these sound like an old fart here, but I'm going to. So all these car companies have decided they're canceling most of their sedans, except some like the Mustang for Ford, but they're dropping all their other cars. The Focus is going to be toast. And General Motors is dropping the Volt and half the Cadillacs, and they're just dropping everything. And they're going to build nothing but these SUVs. You heard this?
Yeah, of course.
And I like people to go around, just go through the shopping mall or shopping center or go to the grocery store and look around and just take a look at what you've got. I look around and I see sedan, 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 SUV, sedan, 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 SUV. I mean, where is this demand? There's some people that don't mind having a sedan. Or they don't mind, or they don't want an SUV. Nobody likes it. Everybody doesn't want to drive what amounts to being a pickup truck.
Maybe they're in a different parking lot.
Where they're getting the data from.
Maybe they're in a different parking lot. I drive a large truck. It's very difficult to park in a lot of areas.
Yeah, that's another thing. These things are inconvenient.
Very inconvenient.
I know a guy who always just swore by having a Tahoe. That thing is like driving around a Mack truck. You might as well just carry a load with you wherever you're going, maybe get some money. It just doesn't make any sense to me.
Put it on the hitch and take it for a ride. Well, they made money, and it seems that, what's this here? They came in at $2.1 billion or $1.40 a share. Expectations were about like $1.22. So that's good. Sears is living on.
This is becoming a joke.
Total joke. I mean, this Eddie Lampert, why would he want to continue with this whole...
It's got to be some tax scam or there's something going on with this deal.
Yeah, you would...
It can't be just straight what it looks like. It's got to be something else.
Yeah. I mean, that's all he has left. So it could be something there. It could be a little bit of ego. But I mean, at this point, ego, it's even if it was worth a lot of money... It wouldn't be like, oh, he owns Sears. Like, oh, he owns Sears?
What?
Yeah. Okay. You know, that store should be put out of his misery. I went into a couple different Sears recently. There is nobody in that store. There's not even people working there. It's like it's a ghost town.
Just grab something and walk out.
And the stuff is awful. They sold off a bunch of their good brands.
Yeah, they took all the good brands and sold them off.
So
it's terrible.
Anyway,
it's just terrible. It was like it's an American icon.
Yep.
And the writing was on the wall when Montgomery Wards, which was their competitor years ago, they couldn't keep up and they just went broke. So they lose their main competitor, Montgomery Wards, and then they still can't make a go of it. I mean, come on. Something's wrong.
There's obviously poor management, and his desire to continue making this go on. I mean, maybe there's a lot of money in it for him. I believe there is some. I do believe there is some money in all of this because he's probably doing a write down. He's doing some bankruptcy or at least some write offs and making deals with these creditors. But you will find time and time again, people will keep on ponying up money for the opportunity to hopefully make a lot of money on this. So they'll put out these bonds to them, lend money at high rates, hoping that it'll come back and then just get squashed. It's happened many times already.
Unbelievable.
Mm. Seems like there's some more bad news for Tesla. And what happens when you get bad news for Tesla?
It goes up.
That's correct. Tesla announced last month in the second round of job cuts that they were going to be laying off a lot of people. One of the things beneath the surface was there was a particular department that was really hard hit by these layoffs. And that department was the delivery department. So this division that actually had people in it that would deliver cars laid off, 150 out of a team of 230 people.
Well, that doesn't seem like a good idea.
Right. Unless your pace of delivery slows down significantly. Right. Maybe you don't need them. Isn't that what it says?
Well, that would be different.
Well, they did say that. They said the pace of delivery has slowed down significantly. So how is that good news for Tesla? Why did we see an upgrade today for Tesla?
I think the stock rose because didn't somebody come out and put a big investment in the company There was something else, I think, that drove the stock up.
There was an upgrade by a major firm today.
Maybe
it was yesterday.
I think it was yesterday.
So, I think they people are just, you know, they buy it until they'll keep buying it until it drops. I mean, when I say drops, I mean it's done. Because I mean, even Elon Musk has admitted that he was, you know, a year ago when things were looking really bad, on the brink of a total disaster. And just by epic work and doing some crazy stuff, he pulled it out. So I guess it's a bet on Musk. Pence, yeah.
Well, here's another thing. I wonder about people who actually buy a Tesla. Unless you just got nothing but money. Around here, you know, there's a lot of people that's got a lot of disposable income and they'll buy a Tesla. Because what happens if this company does go under? How do you ever fix this thing?
It's hard to get it fixed now. I mean, there's a shortage.
Yeah, the insurance rates on Teslas are very high, especially for body work.
Yeah.
One false move, you're electrocuted.
Well, isn't it carbon fiber? Isn't the...
I don't think the body is it?
I thought it was something like that. Now we get somebody in the chat room to look up what is the exterior of the Tesla made of? But you have, I mean,
carbon fiber would be rather extravagant.
If you had unlimited amount of money and you were a car guy, what would you buy?
Probably buy a Bugatti maybe, but probably one of the more practical Ferraris. I think that would be a good idea. They actually drive nicely and they're not too weird. And the thing, especially for me, if I was me, I'd definitely get a Ferrari because the only factory dealership and factory service department in the United States is over here in Marin County.
Oh, perfect.
So very few people know that.
I would get an Aston
Martin.
So you can
get it fixed. Yeah, it's a British car, so I'd probably beg off. I mean, I like the looks of them too. They're cool.
Yeah, they're very cool. You're coming a little spotty. You get a little bit of a crunchiness going on in your voice.
I do.
I don't know if maybe it's my headphones. I don't know.
But it could be some my voice. Could be my voice acting up.
We've had several outages from Comcast recently, so maybe it's that. Jeff Bezos, is he a hero? Or
what?
I mean, he went up and he kind of, you know, did what most people wouldn't do. He confronted the whole AMI National Enquirer pictures in a pretty outward manner and did it publicly versus just sicking his attorneys on them.
Yeah.
Not impressed?
Okay, well, I mean, congratulations, Jeff. Now that it turns out that his girlfriend's brother seems to be the leaker.
Oh.
Got a hold of the phone and sent the pictures over. No, people know that you can get those. If you had pictures that are described in this brouhaha, they're worth about $10,000 a pop minimum.
So he sent them over and collected the money?
I don't know if he collected the money. I don't know what the status of the whole thing is. They keep it pretty hushed up.
I just thought it was really cool. Lewd. I thought it was
cool. It's lascivious. The whole thing's lascivious.
Yes, lascivious. On to bank mergers. We see that one of the first bank mergers, big bank mergers, since the financial crisis happened this week or last week, BB&T is going to be buying SunTrust Banks for about $28 billion in stock. Kind of interesting. Huh. Now, today...
Yeah. It's a trend. Might be a trend.
It may be a trend. However, today, Jerome Powell, the Fed chair, made some comments about the concern about the impact on small communities and how the mergers that we've seen over the last years, and I think he was insinuating that the big banks are not really helpful to the smaller...
No,
client.
I agree with that. We only have one little bank left in our area, and it's, you know, and they're great. But Chase and the other guys have been buying up everyone.
So, yeah, then what you have is you're just unfortunately working with the machine. You're not working with a person anymore. You don't work with a person anymore, right?
I do.
You do? You have like a dedicated banker?
No, I don't have a dedicated banker. I'm not that big of a deal. But I know everybody at the bank by first name.
Oh.
They all know me. It's like going to a sushi restaurant when you show up. They all say hi.
Ah. Well, like when you, what's that restaurant? Welcome to Moe's.
Welcome. Yeah, something like that.
Or John. It's like cheers. Everybody knows your name. So believe it or not, do we believe it or not? Here's the question I'm posing to you. Do we believe it or not? Two possible answers, okay?
Sure.
President Donald Trump and China's President Xi Jinping are likely to meet before the country's March 1st deadline. Believe it or not.
I don't believe it.
Mm-hmm. Do we believe that if we don't get a deal done before the March 1st deadline, that the tariffs will be increased?
I don't believe that either.
Hmm. So you think they'll keep the... They're not going to make the deadline, but they won't increase the tariff.
Keep yeah, it's my that's my belief. Just a guess.
Right. That a deal will get done in 2019.
I'd say, yeah, let's hope so.
Let's hope so. All right.
I think a deal will be done. Mm. We got too much time left. And it's nice he needs something for the campaign trail for 2020.
Mm-hmm. Need to have a win.
Needs a victory.
Needs a win.
Needs a win.
Emerging market bond exchange traded funds have been drawing in record inflows. Emerging market bond ETFs added $900 million on the 5 days that ending last Friday. What's interesting is that there was, since the beginning of the year, inflows have occurred on all days except two for emerging market bond funds. So there's a lot of bet going back that the dollar's going to go down. What are you doing? What's happening there?
I'm sorry. I don't know why it makes so much noise. I'm just grabbing a lozenge so I don't have such a crackly voice.
You called a lozenge. I brought up it was called a lozenger.
A lozenger?
That's what it's called. I need a lozenger.
Lozenger. Isn't that a gun of some sort shoots lozenges?
I don't know. You just mentioned lozenge. It just sounds weird. My parent, you know, my dad said, hey, get me one of those Hall's lozengers.
A lozenger.
That's what it is.
Wow.
Lozenger. Yep. Do you have the honey flavored ones, or what do you like?
I buy that variety pack. The one I have here is the cherry with triple soothing action.
Triple soothing. Oh.
Yeah.
Nice. But here's the interesting thing that of all of this. Now I talked about how I thought emerging markets were a really interesting place if in fact we see a little bit of a rebound from the bottom, but also if the dollar starts to slow down. Now, that turned around the last few days, but emerging market ETFs in the equity area, okay, in the equity area, not bonds, equities now, took in $3.5 billion, like 2% of all the assets outstanding they took in. And it was the biggest flow, the biggest five-day flow since April 2014. And there hasn't been an outflow a single day since late December with equity ETFs in the area of emerging markets. That's pretty substantial money coming in.
I'd say. I didn't know that.
Yeah, big money coming in. Where are we on time? Let me look. This Google story about Google's paying more in EU fines than they're paying in taxes to the U.S. government. What's the story with the EU with the fines?
The EU is making the money on the taxes.
Yeah. Let's see. They paid the increase. In 2017... Google paid the EU $2.7 billion in fines and $5 billion in 2018. Seriously, I don't really follow this much. What the hell are they doing to get these kind of fines?
You know, I knew some of these fines and why they came about, but it's just because Google won't listen to anything they have to say. It just tells them to saw it off.
That's just a lot of fines. I mean... You know, $1 million or something like that, maybe. Just $1 billion, though. That's, you remember when somebody
that's
got
one big check.
Yeah, you remember when somebody got a $5 billion fine where it was actually would affect the stock?
Yeah.
Yeah, what's a billion?
Yeah,
what's
that doesn't happen anymore.
Now, you brought up a story. You brought up a piece. I put a link to it on the show notes. Again, episode number 443. What I got out of this story about this whole Swiss stock exchange thing was that it looks like the EU is starting to close its borders and tell us, say, you know, basically, if you're not with us, you're against us.
That's what it looks like.
Right. It did. Right.
There's a lot of stories about this Swiss stock exchange fiasco. The thing all began in December of last year. And they're trying to get the, the Swiss, they have a banking structure and everything. They do things the Swiss way, which is nothing wrong with. And the EU doesn't like that anymore. In fact, I remember during the early days of the EU, and I was in Switzerland, they were bitching about, these guys are kind of connected, I think. And they were talking about how the Swiss don't like to be told how to bank. I mean, that's the thing they do. They're bankers. And the guy says the country that's going to regret joining the EU is Luxembourg. He says, because they have a banking system structured similar to the Swiss, and they're going to eat it because the EU is just going to make them do things the EU way, and they won't be able to be independent anymore and, you know, attract attention or attract the money of the rich and famous. And I don't think that the Swiss expected that this turnaround would occur, where they're all of a sudden the EU is telling them how to run their banks.
Yeah, I mean, this is pretty significant that basically there's going to, you know, not allow, it's basically not going to allow cross-border buying of securities outside of the EU into the Swiss markets. If, I guess you're
right.
Wow, that's just bizarre. Bizarre.
Yeah, that's just the beginning. I think they're going to clamp down on Swiss banking. I don't know where where some of the kind of corrupt upper class types in the various countries are going to stash their cash when they get worried. But the whole thing is very sketchy.
Very sketchy. There's a link to that. I think everybody would be, I think it'd be good for you to read this and follow, you know, just maybe you're not interested in Swiss banking and all that, but it is interesting to see what's happening on a global basis with protectionism and the whole idea of closing off borders. And, you know, globalism is a really important thing for countries and companies that work outside and do a lot of business outside. And you start closing that off, it's bad repercussions. You can't just do that. The reason why the world has been prospering over the last, let's say, I don't know, 25 years, 30 years, is because you have a globally oriented economy where there's a lot of sharing that goes on, right? I mean, it seems pretty logical.
It seems logical. I don't know. I mean, there's certain things that don't make sense, but I've always had doubts about some global trade where you have, I shouldn't be talking too much because I drive pretty much Toyotas. last three cars have all been Lexuses, which are Toyotas, let's face it. And so I don't really have, except we do have minivans, which are Chryslers, which is also foreign owned. But anyway, the point is that I've always been baffled by Toyota or one of these big operations or a Korean operation shipping forklifts to the United States, while Hyster, for our forklift company, is shipping forklifts to Japan.
Yeah.
Why bother? What's the point? It's just like, who's making out on this deal? The shipping companies.
Well, there may be something about trade at different times where the dollar is valued higher or lower, and maybe it's a better deal. And, you know, that's something there, but I agree with you. It seems a little bit ridiculous that, well, I mean, then again, it all depends on what you're trying to do. There may be a reason is that you're driving a Toyota instead of a Ford. So there may be some reason that somebody's using the Komatsu forklift versus the, what do you say, Hyster?
Hyster.
So, I don't know.
An old famous, I don't know if they're still in business, but it's a famous company.
Let me mention now that if you do, ever in your life, if you've had the opportunity to taste a cherry lozenger, and if you've found any of the information that if you found any of the information, or if you have found any of the information that we talk about, or if we're just simply putting you to sleep, whatever the reason is, You need to donate to the show. It's really important to us. For those of you that are listening that haven't ever donated, and there's a lot of people, you know, you could do things like $5 a month. A lot of people do $10 and $15 a month. There's some carryover from No Agenda with the 33.
You can do whatever you want to do.
Yeah, you can do whatever you want to do. So whatever you want to do is great with us, except for one thing. You got to do it. It's not magic. It's not like we're just doing this for our health and it's just like, you know, we love talking to each other, which we do. But, you know, it's multi-part here. We do our part. We prepare, bring you this great opportunity to listen to some really, I think, some interesting things. And it's your part. Your part is to then help out with the show. Because we have some great things like the Close to the Pin competition, which we're going to announce a winner. We send T-shirts and we do a variety of games throughout the year. So things cost money. So you're going to help. Thank you. Okay. Let's see here. All right. Yeah. So we talked last week that we were going to put in or tell the winner, announce the winner for Cleveland Cliffs, which you and I failed miserably on. Double miserably. But it was a hard one because the stock moved around quite significantly.
Yeah.
And it had a little earnings situation in between. So the winner...
Yeah, you were way off. You're usually not that bad.
Yeah, that was bad. So the winner of this contest is Kirk S. And we sent him a nice shirt in the size that he requested. The runner-up was Dean W. And Dean came in 4.5% off. That's how far, by the way... Usually the winners are pretty close.
The one's usually pretty close to the other.
So look how far that was. So that means that, you know, everybody else was 15, 20% away. Mm. And we're announcing the Close to the Pin for Procter & Gamble. You can go over to Deitch & Plug, click on Close to the Pin. It's on the top right there. And you can first you click the donate button. Then you come back and you click on the Close to the Pin. You put your price guess in for where the closing price of Procter & Gamble is going to be on March 1st. Just give you a nice running start. But you have to do it well before. You can't do it like the 30th or 28th for this month. So make sure to put that in. All right, moving along. Oh, this is a great story. I got some great stories here. Oh, there's some great stories. Did you see this whole weird and creepy-deepy story about what happened on a Delta Airlines flight?
No.
You didn't see this?
I never heard this story. Mm.
Mm-mm. Could be one of my favorite stories of the year. So it seems that Delta and Coca-Cola arranged some kind of deal where they provided passengers with napkins. Okay, so you get your drink or whatever, you get your warm nuts, and you get a napkin, right? And on it, it said, write down your telephone number and give it to your plane crush. They featured Diet Coke logos, and on one side it says, because you're on a plane full of very interesting people, and hey, you never know. Be a little old school. Write down your number and give it to your plane crush. You never know. How freaking weird is that?
Well, it kind of reminds me of years ago, a lot of these in-house or in-plane entertainment systems, they had a seat-to-seat.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
So you could send a text message to somebody in seat 3C from your seat. Hey, babe. I mean, I don't know why I've never did it because it's like, what kind of a creep are you to do it? I mean, it's just not right. Unless she's turning around and winking at you or something.
Well, because she'll know it's you.
So, yeah. But this is kind of like, who dreams up this kind of thing? Nobody does that.
And then who approved it? You got multiple files.
Yeah, it has to go through layers.
Right.
Companies like this, that goes through layers of two different companies, Delta and Coke.
Crazy. I don't know what they were trying to get out of it. I'll tell you one thing I like to do on planes and have the phones, though. I find somebody that's sleeping and I just dial their number.
Yeah.
I didn't know. You can only do that once or twice on any leg. Because otherwise you get, you know, ratted out. Just wake them up. just kidding. So Apple is now the most valuable company in the U.S. at unseating Microsoft. This is after a rather soft earnings report. But the market just makes a move. One interesting story about this. You read this. This mountain lion in the foothills of Horsetooth Mountain northwest of Denver Guy was jogging. He gets attacked by this baby cougar, which even if it's a little dog being attacking you, it's a problem. And he kills it barehanded.
Yeah. Had to be a small cat.
But you know that he's going to get all
probably
sorts
a
of
house
grief.
Cat.
Maybe. Just a big, fat, one of those orange
a
cats.
A Maine Coon cat.
Yeah. A tabby. A really big, fat tabby. But you know that there's going to be blowback on this, and this guy's going to get all sorts of hate mail from animal rights groups.
What's he supposed to do?
I don't know. You know, he's, I don't know. And here is our, special Valentine's idea for you. Now, it's a little bit different than your normal Valentine's Day concept where you're going to give chocolate or maybe make somebody some dinner or give them roses or, I don't know, surprise them with a gift of something, whatever it may be, okay? And by the way, sharing love is not just for Valentine's Day. That's why we have that donate button. It's right. If you haven't seen the donate button, it's a big, really just a very interesting heart. If you go over there and see it, if you click it, it turns into this heart and hearts go all over the screen. Very cool to do. Go try it. Just click that button, the donate button.
Go do it now.
Yeah. And if, let's just say you have an ex, wife, husband, girlfriend, and you feel it's time to do something, the El Paso Zoo has an idea. If you go to their site, and there's some links, actually, I left the links in on the show notes. If you go to the site and you message them on Facebook with your ex-wife's name or your ex-boyfriend's name, they will name a cockroach after them.
Oh, geez.
And then feed it to a meerkat live on camera.
Wow.
How great is that? This
pretty
is the
funny.
This is the Quit Bugging Me Meerkat event. It's going to live stream on Facebook and the zoo's website. So... it's going to start, let's see, the names of the exes will also be displayed around the meerkat exhibit on the social media. So at the zoo, they're going to put your name up and it's going to be on social media starting February 11th. So this is the...
It sounds like a lawsuit waiting to happen. But I think, by the way, to add to this, they should use a special bug printing inkjet printer and print the name of the person on the cockroach.
Oh, there you go.
It is doable.
And it's going to feed them to these meerkats.
Yeah.
What's a meerkat? What is a meerkat?
Meerkat's like a bigger groundhog.
I gotta look this up. Meerkat.
Yeah, look them up. They're cute.
Oh, those guys. I love those guys. They stand at attention.
Yeah, those are the ones that are always sticking their heads out of the holes.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I love those guys. Yeah, I'd like to.
And they apparently have some social structure that's kind of interesting.
So here, zoo campaign to name cockroach. Yeah, it was too successful. Oh, wait, this is an article.
Too successful.
An article about this. Let's see.
They got to double the price, people. Jack it up.
The zoo had to stop the campaign early. Yep. It became so popular that 7 days after the original post, the zoo had to stop accepting names. Oh, God. It's going to live stream on Valentine's Day. How great is that? I love that. Being creative. All right, it's time to talk our stocks. Time to look at the weekly stock game that we play. It's simply a game, not a solicitation to buy or sell any security. It's not a recommendation of any kind. Nothing on this show should be considered investment advice or a recommendation for you, for anybody personally, or anything else of the nature. If you choose to invest in any of the stocks mentioned, you should, of course, know that they carry risk, along with the risk of a loss of principal. You should also seek out professional financial advice for your particular situation, because we assume no risk, as these are not to be considered recommendations. Horowitz Company, myself, and John C. Dvorak may invest in any securities mentioned, and we will disclose that on the website under the weekly stock pick section. You can go over to DH Unplugged, and there's a little button you can click, and you can go over and see a live, when the markets are open, ticking, updating, spreadsheet kind of thing with all the gains and losses from when we talked about it. Again, not a recommendation, but there's some disclosures there you should check out as well. So there you go. There you have it.
Good.
You take it.
Well, I'm looking at the list. There's hardly any of yours left. They're all gone.
No.
They're all me, JCD. So I'm losing money on Johnson & Johnson, which I still think is a good investment, or a good short because of the potential of the John Mansville trap. Medtronic is up. Insiders buying. Valvoline has been kicked off. I smell a merger, but the merger is not going to happen with this purchase.
Yep.
Selective Biosciences bottom feeders.
That was up like 20, that was up like 22% today when I put this on here. I must have dropped down.
Yeah, it dropped down a little bit. Still up. Mm-hmm. Then there's your one pick. Sealer Temper Sealy Posturepedic International, whatever it is, and it's dead money at the moment. Mm-hmm. It's short. Then I had two others. This is the end. This is the John C. Dvorak show. I had two others picked just basically solely on chart activity, which I don't like to do necessarily, but both are up. One up 4% in 1 week. And then that's it. So there's all that's left.
Well, I have two names for this week. I have my usual Valentine's Day pick that I do each and every year about this time. And that's a company called Church & Dwight. Do you know what they make?
The teddy bear?
Rubbers.
Oh, rubbers.
They make Trojan. That's what they do. So I thought it would be a fun thing to track to see how, if it can go up. Let's just put it that way. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, yo.
Yeah. I'm also going to be adding Tilray. They have earnings coming tomorrow. We saw Aurora come out, and a couple of the names are starting to come out in the next day or so on earnings. Tilray is the stock that, it's a pot stock, a big CBD play. And the stock has been kind of in that 70 to 80 range, give or take. And when it moves after earnings,
for a breakout,
it possibly. I mean, it's got to do one thing or the other. To be honest with you, it's either going to go up or just get squeezed higher because very thin float, or it's just going to drop like a rock.
Mm. All right, I got nothing.
No. Oh, okay.
I looked and looked and looked, and I can't find anything that's intriguing.
It's a tough. It's a tough time on both sides because markets have a underlying bid.
I'd like to find a good short, but I can't find one, and the longs don't look that interesting, and so I got nothing. Hmm.
Even the short, like Under Armour, came out today with earnings. It was down about 4% pre-market. It stayed down as the market opened, and then all of a sudden, the thing just started rocking in higher. It finished up 6% on the day. So that's the kind of environment we are in, where we were in sell first, ask questions later in October, November, December, or buy first and just keep buying in January, February. So that's what happens with the markets. You know, you get that sentiment going. People take a longer view and they look at it. So
now, what is it? Sell in May and walk away?
Sell in May and go away.
What about, I thought it was buy in May and go away.
No, sell in May and go away. Because the summertime
is not in May yet.
Not there yet. Not there yet. You got a few. What's February? What rhymes with February? Is anything rhyme in February?
Gary, Mary, Harry, Jerry, February.
Yeah. All right. I hope you enjoyed your lozenge.
Larry in February. I've got nothing.
By the way, I think there's a lot more people than you think that call it lozengers.
Lozengers.
Yeah. You're going to start calling it that yourself now.
No, I'm never going to call it that. There's no such thing as a lozenger.
It's not a lozenger. How do you spell lozenger?
With an R at the end, obviously.
Lozenge
is what
you mean. Lozenge. The lozenge. Rhombus. No, that's something different. Throat lozenge. Throat lozenge.
Lozenge.
The throat lozenge.
I'll tell you the one that you want to get if you can ever find them. I do have some of these. These are rougher, though. These you got to be serious about.
Wait. Hold on a second. What is I just put this in. What is a throat lozenger?
And what did it say?
A sweetened medicated tablet is spelled lozen and percent and pronounced lozenge is standard English. However, the Oxford Dictionary spells in a variant spelling called lozenger. So there you go. Yeah.
Oh, you're British now.
I guess so.
Anyway, if you ever see Jakeman's throat and chest, that's the stuff you want.
Jakeman's throat and chest gluten-free.
Anise flavored.
Oh, that's nice.
And they're just dynamite. And they're made in England. And curiously, they're made in England. And curiously, at the bottom, it says 24 lozenges.
So it's lozenges.
Yeah, there's no, it's plural, lozenges. Right. So it's no, where's the lozenger? I mean, that must have been in the 1600s or something.
Hmm. There you go. Well, my family goes back a long time, it seems.
Well, maybe.
Anyway, I will talk to you then again next week. Don't forget, Thursdays is no agenda. Sundays, No Agenda, both at 12. Sundays also competing with No Agenda, but not really, because they're live for 3 hours. The Disciplined Investor Podcast, last week's podcast, went into excruciating detail about the five key headwinds and items and drivers for the market. If you haven't listened to that, make sure to go listen to it and go over to Spotify.
I'll definitely listen to it myself. Thanks.
Yep. All right. I'll talk to you next week.
Okay, bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pockets, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a mint. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.